This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. Well, summer is winding down. Kids in the San Francisco Unified School District are back in the classroom as of this week. At San Francisco State University, there are exactly 5 days left before the semester begins. Students there and throughout California's public university system might not know it, but their schooling is guided by the state's Master Plan for Public Higher Education. Yes, we have a master plan. It was drafted in 1960 and formally lays out the state's original goal for the system, to provide top-notch higher education that's accessible to all students, regardless of financial status. In this piece from our archives, KALW's Jen Chien catches us up on what's in that master plan and what it means for the state today.
Have you heard of the California Master Plan for Higher Education of 1960?
No, I have not.
No, I have not.
I've never heard of it before.
No, I haven't.
No.
No, you haven't.
I have not.
No, not really.
Of 1960? No, I'm not aware of that. And no.
Yes, actually. I heard about it in my ethnic studies class. I would have had no idea. I don't think anyone really knows about it. Which is weird because it's supposed to be like the master plan. I feel like everyone should know. But I don't think people really know that, like, there is a plan in California for everyone to go to college.
That was an unscientific sample I took of students at San Francisco State University. That last guy, Mazen Magoob, had it right. California really does have a plan for everyone to go to college. In the early 60s, the state's future looked sunny and bright. Pat Brown, father of our current governor, Jerry Brown, was in his first term as governor, and he had an ambitious agenda.
I think the state of California is the greatest place in all God's earth, and we're making it better in every way.
That clip is from the 2011 documentary, A California State of Mind. Governor Pat Brown oversaw the creation of much of what defines California today: landmark civil rights legislation, massive freeway expansion, and the design and construction of the state's complex water system. Brown also presided over the creation of the Master Plan, the blueprint for the state's college system. Baby boomers were coming of age, and that meant a flood of new students in higher education. And in the spirit of the big projects of the day, Governor Brown wanted a more coherent plan for the state's system of higher education, a kind of sweeping statement of principles and goals. He convened 15 education advisors to draft it. Clark Kerr, who was president of UC at the time, was the plan's main architect.
The university is being called upon to educate previously unimagined numbers of students, to respond to the expanding claims of national service, to merge its activities with industry as never before.
The state already had a public college system, but the new plan tried to better define each school's role. The UCs were supposed to focus on research, the CSUs on preparing teachers, and the community colleges on preparing students for transfer to the four-year schools. In this way, every high school graduate was guaranteed entry into the system. And although students would be expected to pay for incidentals like dorm housing or textbooks, tuition was supposed to be free.
So far as the governor can stop it, there will never be a tuition at the University of California or the state colleges or the junior colleges of our land. Believe me.
I'm Beverly Hayon. I'm 67 years old, and I live in San Francisco. Simply put, I had a public education from beginning to end.
Beverly Hayon's path through school followed the plan. Beginning as a child, she went to Los Angeles public schools, then to Los Angeles City College.
And from there transferred to San Francisco, where I actually attended for one semester San Francisco City College and then went on to San Francisco State. And I graduated in 1968.
Her tuition wasn't free, though it was very low. See, the master plan itself was never a law. It was a set of recommendations for legislators to act on. And as it turned out, free tuition was one of many recommendations that never became law. Some others were consistent admission standards across the three systems, increases in funding, and a proposed full-year calendar that included adult education. Still, the plan seemed to work, especially for students like Hayon. She says she always wanted to go to college, but that when she graduated high school, she didn't really know how to get there.
I'm the daughter of an immigrant. My mother did not really understand or know how to manipulate the public school system. So I never had any encouragement or guidance or help in planning for college.
Given that lack of support, she says that the accessibility of community college was key to her success.
Because no planning was involved, I didn't have to think about it or apply. You know, you just went to City College and signed up for your classes whenever, registration was in progress.
Heyon worked all through school.
I was actually a long-distance operator back in the day when you actually had all these cords that you had to plug into little holes. So that's a really long time ago.
Even while working, she says she never felt like a degree was out of her reach.
I think the system worked very well for me.
When Heyon was at SF State, student fees were around $50 a semester. Students today pay much more. Adenike Hamilton was president of the Student Association at SF State for the 2012-13 academic year. I spoke with her at her office in the Student Union building.
Now tuition is way over $3,000 a semester, and that's just for registration and fees. That doesn't include books or housing or things like that that are also student necessities.
Even adjusted for inflation, that's more than five times as much as Heyon paid. And tuition has risen sharply at all three branches of the state's higher education system, especially in the last decade. Just like when the boomers were coming of age, California's college-age population is growing. The number of high school graduates hit an all-time high in 2010. But with more and more cut from their budgets each year, the UCs and CSUs are accepting fewer and fewer of their in-state applicants. So, Hamilton says, class availability and overcrowding are also major issues.
At the beginning of the semester, there's a huge rush for students who weren't able to add the class during the registration periods, trying to crash classes. You see people sitting on the floors trying to get into the classes, things like that.
This competition to get into the classes that you need, plus the rising cost of tuition, can make going to a California public university a stressful experience.
You know, what's the quality of education when you're taking seven classes because you can't, you know, you're trying to take as many as possible to get out of here? Or what's the quality of education when, you know, you are not able to take the classes that you need and you end up taking filler classes that you don't need and you're not working towards, well, you're working towards a degree, but it's not in the way that, you know, you want to get there.
Hamilton's statement could also be about the system as a whole. California is working toward college degrees for its students, but how are we getting there? Robert Shireman of education policy think tank California Competes says it's no wonder the plan is faltering under the weight of so many changes.
Really, the plan was only supposed to be a plan for 1960 to 1975.
The idea was that a higher education oversight board would revisit the master plan every 5 to 10 years to check in with how the state was doing. But there really haven't been any major changes to the plan in these 50-plus years. And in fact, Governor Jerry Brown closed down the oversight board in 2011.
And so we have kind of been drifting, operating on the fumes of the master plan without really revising it to acknowledge the changed world that we live in and the very different California that we are in.
Shireman says there were many things that the people who wrote the plan could not have predicted. For example, shifting gender roles.
When the plan was drafted, most women did not go to college. So when they were figuring out their projections of how many people will need to be housed in our colleges and universities around the state, they were making those projections based on what they saw in the world then.
In other words, only men. And the state's demographics have changed a lot in the last 50 years, much of that due to immigration. We now have more than 1.5 million English language learners in the school system, a fact which the master plan takes no account of. At the time of the master plan's writing, it was still possible to make a decent living with just a high school diploma. But today,
the labor market has changed now, where you pretty much need to have some type of college education in order to get a good family-sustaining job.
And then there's the decline in state spending on higher education. When Beverly Heon graduated in 1968, California was spending about 17% of its budget on its world-class university system. 40 years later, that number is more like 11%.
If you go back to the 50s and the 60s, when the master plan was in its heyday, we had a lot of money, and the state was doing really well.
Michael Kirst is a professor emeritus at Stanford and president of the California Board of Education.
So you've got a master plan for a period when you had a lot more money per pupil and willingness to spend it on public services than we do now.
Kirst says the master plan was born out of an era when there was just a lot more confidence in the idea of planning.
Now you don't hear much about master planning in America for much of anything. We're much more of a freewheeling. Things happen bottom up. Our area, the Silicon Valley, is very much, you can't plan Silicon Valley. It just morphs from thing to thing. So the whole idea that you can build a master plan for an animal as complex as California post-secondary education doesn't seem to fit with the times anymore.
He says maybe we don't even need a document like the master plan anymore.
For its own time, the master plan was bold, creative, and innovative. And so what I keep thinking about is this the time for California once again to think of an entirely new model?
And the architects of that new model may just come from the ranks of students currently enrolled in California's public universities. Someone like Mazen Magoob, who learned about the master plan in his class at SF State.
Do you feel like it would be important for your peers, for other students to know about that?
Not just my peers, but I think they should teach it in high school, like when people are applying to college, so that they know that like their state has made them a promise that they should get a higher education.
A promise that California is still figuring out how to keep. In San Francisco, I'm Jen Cheehan for Cross Currents.